back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we're back in Pan Am for a special little recap of the last two books of The Hunger Games.
Welcome to the 75th annual Hunger Games.
Yes.
And also the 76th.
And the 76th. Just more and more Hunger Games. Yes, we are back to start with the Quarter Quell. And I have to say, without jumping ahead, I don't know how you felt yet, but I think after finishing all of these so far, of the initial trilogy, Catching Fire is by far the best one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's got the most going on, and I think it's well done. I like Mockingjay, but I think Catching Fire is definitely the strongest of the four that I've read.
Yes, because, yeah, I still have to read Songbirds and Snakes, so eventually we will get there. But to start with Catching Fire, I know one of the things that you were interested in learning was, you know, Katniss's life after having won the Hunger Games. So what was it like for you to, like, revisit that part? Because you haven't really reread this one as often as Hunger Games, right?
I hadn't reread this one at all, and it's funny because I had thought all these things the last time we talked about it.
Yeah.
But it's like the movie has completely erased my memory of the book, which is funny because I was like going through it and I was like, oh, I was like convinced that, you know, this had already happened or whatever, mm-hmm. but it didn't, like, the second book opens with that like victory tour or whatever.
Yeah.
And in my mind, because of the way the movies are done, that happened like immediately after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting to get more of Katniss's life, even though, like, you don't get to know her before all of this started, but I feel like in Catching Fire, you get a better sense of who she is just from, like, how she's going about her day in between these Hunger Games events.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, she's still going to the Hob and she's still hunting, but, like, she's purchasing things from the Hob to try and pay people back. Mm-hmm. And she's just, like, bringing game in and leaving it. And it's interesting to see how she goes about her life in that way.
Yeah, because she's definitely still trying to connect and, I think, find her identity. Because I forget if it's this book or if it's this... It might be Mockingjay, but just along the lines of, like, how her entire life since the first Hunger Games has just been for other people and, like, her emotions aren't her own, nothing is her own, so she kind of just feels like, I don't think even at the end of the trilogy, she feels like her own person, in a way, like, that's a constant right. theme throughout with her, even doing that.
Yeah, I would agree. But even, like, even before the Hunger Games, I don't think she ever got the chance to operate in a way that's just, like, what she wanted to do. Because she had to take care of Prim because her mom was depressed and her dad died. Like, mm-hmm. she never got a chance to live her own life.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
And I don't even know, like, who knows? It would be interesting if she were to... And I don't know if I would want this because it would be one of those things where, like, you have to break something if you're going to bring them back, you know? Like, if we were to get another book with Peeta and Katniss, what next are they going to have to deal with? But it would be kind of interesting just to see, like, okay, now when you have these children, you know, if we're going to fast forward to Mockingjay, are you living the life that you want? Are you your own person? Like, kind of what does that look like for you? Or are you always going to be like that?
I don't know. From the very ending of Mockingjay, it makes you think that she is always going to be that way.
Which is so sad.
Like, she's trying to adjust, but even just talking about the kids don't know, but they learn about it in school. Mm-hmm. They know that we're involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seems to me, and I think that's, like, one of the things about this series that affects you so much is Katniss never gets to live any life that she had planned for herself. She didn't even want to have kids, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, people change the older mm-hmm. they get. She was, you know, 17 by the end of The Hunger Games, so
right.
10 years later, lots of things change, but it's just interesting because she went from this person who was like, I never want to be married.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, because she always saw, like...
Trauma bonded.
Yeah, the trauma bond for sure, and then... I think that was probably the biggest thing was just that. And yeah, I don't know. I think what was most interesting for me, though, was as she was discovering, like, oh, it's not just me and my disadvantaged district that hates the Capitol. Like, these victors hate the Capitol. Like, so many people are so unhappy. And, you know, we talked about in the first episode or the last one, like, one of the things that makes a good sequel of, like, opening up the world. And I think that's what Catching Fire did really well, because Katniss now gets to see firsthand that, like, even the Victors, who seemingly have everything and they're rich and, of course, they're on the Capitol side, like, they also hate the Capitol as well. And it was cool to watch her kind of deal with that, like, oh, it's not just me that's furious. Like, other people have this same kind of anger, too.
Yeah. Speaking of the other people, you get to see a lot more relationships in this one.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more Katniss Gale time. There's obviously a lot more Katniss Peeta time. You get to know Cinna a little bit better, or at least you know that Katniss and Cinna know each other very well.
Yes.
So it's pretty effective. And Cinna, I think, is the only character in this book who really wanted nothing from her.
I think you're right. Yes.
He wanted her to make her own choices. He had opinions on what those choices should be or what he thought they would be, but he asked nothing of her. Mm-hmm. He's the only person in the entire series that was just like, are you okay? No, I get that. Like, he was the only one who wanted nothing from her.
Yeah, and he just was very protective of her in a way that I don't think anybody else was. Like, yeah, sure, he kind of helped her. He did help her kind of figure out who she was, I think, or that it was just okay to kind of be this sharp woman in a way, or young woman, actually. And yeah, I think that's why, rip Cinna. I was just still so sad. I knew that was coming, but I'm still so sad that you don't get to see him, like, go through the rebellion with her. And of course, you know, like you said, someone you love has to die in the book, even if it's a side character. And I'm still just so sad that it was Cinna.
I was specifically thinking of him, because it's such a hard loss, especially when you find out, like, they spent the 6 months in between the games and the weird victory tour talking mm-hmm. several times a week on the phone, like, developing her fake talent for fashion design. So they've become very close.
Yeah.
And he's, like, walking her through this transition from Victor back to, I don't know what they call them, not volunteer.
Oh, tribute.
Tribute.
Yeah.
From Victor back to tribute, and he's holding her hand through this process. I guess it's unfair for me to say he never wanted anything from her, because he makes her all those fire dresses and whatnot. Like, he was clearly setting her up to be
yes.
the face of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I think that's the toughest loss. Obviously, we'll get into it later. There's a tougher loss, but
oh, yeah. I was so mad about that one.
But the initial shock of Cinna is, it was tough to deal with. I hate it. I hated it then, and I hate it now.
I know. When I was listening, I was like, okay, I know it's coming, but I don't remember exactly when or what spurs it or anything like that. And then she is, like, wearing the dress and she spins and it becomes like a black Mockingjay dress. And I was like, oh, yep, here we go. That's why.
That's it. That's what did it.
That's what did it. And then just all the Victors holding hands and everything. And, but then to backtrack too, I think it's still so interesting that it was a 17-year-old girl who was the spark of a rebellion, because she, you know, she spit in the face of the Capitol and didn't kill Peeta, or didn't let Peeta kill her or whatever. And now that little decision, it's like, all right, now you have a new head peacekeeper who sucks, and he is going to make your life terrible and gonna reinstitute all of these terrible things that, you know, your other one wasn't doing and is somehow worse than the one that you had before. And now have fun. And also, by the way, you're going to the Quarter Quell. Like, girl gets no break at all.
No break. She had, like, a 6-month break where she got to hang out, and then they started that victory tour, and President Snow shows up at her house and is like, convince me that you love Peeta, or whatever creepy thing he says to her. Mm-hmm. And it just spirals out of control from there. They bomb their first appearance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On this tour to like, quell the rebellions that are happening.
Well, it's just, like, you know,
they do a real bad job.
Well, you know, like, how are you going to put her in that position of, like, he knew she was going to fail. Like, how did you not see that she was not going to feel that way? Especially, like, the whole thing, because I just think, I remember the part in 8 when they're singing Rue's tune. And after everything, like, it was not the smartest move to, like, send her out there having warned her of that, you know?
Yeah, that's District 11. But Yeah, it's the victory tour. I think they had to do it because they do it every year. Mm-hmm. And PETA and Katniss were such a sensation in the Capitol. But with an uprising going on, it's interesting that they just didn't, like, cancel the tour and say, you know, we're going to do the wedding instead. I guess the wedding wouldn't have happened if they canceled the tour. So, I don't know. But without it, we wouldn't have a book. So, I guess
that's the
real driving reason.
Well, it just makes me laugh because it's like, you guys, like, you watched Katniss. People have been around her, like, you know, you have this girl who is giving people hope that they haven't had in forever and who is actively acted out against the Capitol because of how she feels. And you're like, okay, but convince me and go through all the districts. Like, that was just, I think, poor planning on more Snow's part. Did you not learn how she is? And you're going to send her there and think that it's going to quell it? It's not. It's going to get worse. Right. It's going to be bad.
Especially because, like, she, when she does speak, it's always like this heartfelt stance, like when she's allowed to speak on her own.
Yes.
It's a heartfelt stance on how humans have affected her, mm-hmm. and like brought some sort of emotion into her life, and like people really connect with that. Mm-hmm. So having her off on this tour giving speeches is probably not the best idea.
No, not at all, especially when, you know, she's also considering like trying to run away, and you know, she's trying to figure out her feelings with like PETA versus Gale, and like, oh, you know, we have this terrible person in the peacekeeper, whatever head peacekeeper position. Snow's threatening me. I think I'm just gonna run away. Like, she's already very volatile in this entire thing.
Right. I like Catching Fire as well. I kind of mentioned this before, but because you get introduced to so many different characters, you get to know Madge a little bit more, and her mother, and Madge's mother, mm-hmm. and the connections between Katniss's mom and her mom and Haymitch's Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And then Peacekeeper, you learn about Darius, which is a character I had completely forgotten about because he's not in the movies. And I think he should be, because it's what you find out later. So Darius is a peacekeeper that's always been friendly with Katniss, and he's even like flirted with her, mm-hmm. and whatnot. They're always friends, and I believe it's Darius, flirting with Katniss or pulling her pigtails or whatever, that makes Gale realize that he's into her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then he intervenes in Gale's whipping, because Gale brought a turkey back from the woods when the new head peacekeeper was there, and then they never see Darius again, mm-hmm. in book two. That's the end of Darius in book two. Mm-hmm. Oh no, they see one Darius time. Again when they get to the Capitol, and he's in Eivor's.
Uh-huh. Which, you know, like, did on purpose, 100%. Snow was like, yeah, we're just gonna, here's another little message for you. You might as well have given him, like, some roses to bring with him or something, you know? Like, let's just go for it.
1,000%. And then Katniss, they still have to pretend like they don't know him.
Yeah. And it, you know, she has such a hard time. She's like, okay, like, I can pretend not to know the girl in the first book, but I can't not pretend that Darius doesn't, like, I don't have this connection with him or feel terrible.
Right, that he doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yes.
I wish that was included in the movies. I really do. Because it's a heartbreak. She goes through so much more heartbreak in book two than is shown. Because in the movies, it's basically like, you're going back to the Hunger Games and that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been so long. I haven't watched the movies since they came out, and I'm going to rewatch them now that we've finished our rereads of everything, because I'm curious. But that is very disappointing, because it is one of the catalysts. Like, you have that, and then you have Cinna, too. Like, those two combined, on top of just, you know, how she feels, and yeah, like, how are you going to cut out that?
Right. There's also like a lot of foreshadowing in the book that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. in a way. I just, like, the books, of course, are so much better than the movies, but I had just, like, forgotten that. My brain just kind of erased it. And there's all these interpersonal relationships that are, like, not involved at all. So I feel like my initial perception of Katniss before we did the reread was based off of movie Katniss, where, like, you don't really get her other relationships that aren't Gale and PETA, mm-hmm. and Prim. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot more of her human side in the books rather than just her, like, victor side or her accepting the rebellion.
Well, because she is such a complex character, I think. Like, there's so much inner turmoil that she is dealing with and trying to come to terms with. Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like they made her just a very 2D character of, like, I'm a victor and also which boy will I love? And, like, that is so not, like, her concern at all. Like, she's trying to deal with it and figure out what are these emotions, because she's a young woman, you know, having these emotions for the first time ever. So she's trying to figure that out under the lens of the Capitol, right, and coming to terms with the fact too that, like, she, even if she, again, another choice was taken from her, even if she, say, was madly in love with Gale and was like, I want to be with Gale, she was 100% firm in that conviction, she can't in this point in time because of PETA and the marriage. Like, she's always going to be with PETA, even if it's like a,
right,
a sham for views, public appearance type of situation. So she doesn't even get that for herself.
So we talked about last time in book 2, you're like, oh, this is the one where we get to hate Gale. Was I right that you actually were more confused about your feelings for Gale?
Yeah, I was so confused because, and I even have a hot take once we get to Mockingjay about it. Like, I don't remember where that came from. Like, I thought there was a different thing. Like, I didn't hate him. Like, I still like PETA more, to be honest, I think. But I didn't hate him. And I was just like, oh, that, like, I felt bad for him, you know, because he does, you know, if the roles were reversed, like, he really would have wanted to take PETA's spot in this whole thing so that he could be the one going through this with Katniss and
1,000%
all of that.
Nothing hits harder than that scene where they're talking about how she kissed him after he was whipped.
Yeah.
And she thought he didn't, nobody did. Uh-huh. And he was like, upset. I think, I don't remember what book this happens in, probably 3, but he was like visibly upset talking about that time, and she kissed him again, and he was like, I knew you were gonna do that. Mm-hmm. And she said, how? And he said, because I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. She like switches back and forth based on who needs affection more because they're hurting.
Yeah, and it is crazy. Like, what I also find interesting too, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but I feel like so often in these books that have the love triangle situation, you have one who is like the obvious, you know, the main choice, right? And then you have the other one who she has some sort of like conflicted feelings against, right, or something, but one of them is always trying to be like overly protective of her. And like, I don't think we got that in this one. It was still, they were just both, like, it was done really well. It wasn't, like, a...
They were both fine options.
They were both fine options, and it just went with, like, okay, are you gonna go with... They both know two different sides of you, right? Like, you have Gale, who you've hunted with. You've really grown together in just your effort to survive and support your family. But now you also have PETA, who is one of the very few people, at least in your district, who understands exactly what you went through. Like, blow by blow, knows this new side of you and understands or can understand a little bit more why you have, you know, to kind of get a jump ahead just slightly, like, he understands why she doesn't, is iffy on the rebellion. Like, she doesn't want the Capitol, but she doesn't want the full rebellion either, because she's like, of just how she sees the war go and the casualties, and Gale's like, I don't care, like, those sacrifices are worth it, you know? So there's a lot of conflict there, but it's done really well.
Right. Like, she is fully against the Capitol, but she doesn't want the human loss that's going to come from a rebellion. And that's basically because President Snow is like, oh, it'll be unfortunate, but I'll have to murder all of you. Like,
exactly.
She's had these personal interactions with this monster, and she's like, I don't want a rebellion. He's going to kill everyone.
Mm-hmm. And it takes her so long to even agree, like, halfway through, I feel like, Mockingjay's, when she's finally like, okay, yeah, we have to do the rebellion. Like, I can't sit down, because, like, I may not agree with Coin or everything that's going on there, but I do not want the Capitol to continue, because guess what? It's going to be 10 times worse if they win. Like, it's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. But
right.
To go back to the Quell, I enjoyed the Hunger Games. Who was your favorite tribute to me? I mean, I think our answer is going to be the same, but who were you most excited to see again when we got back?
Finnick Odair forever.
I know. R.I.P. Finnick. He is... I forgot how funny he was. to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, he was just the perfect character.
Yeah, he's great comic relief in the book, and the way he, like, leads around Katniss...
Mm-hmm.
In the games, trying to be like, I am on your side, but he's obviously hiding something.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, it's very fun. And I also, in the same way, still love Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so much more Joanna in the third book.
Yes, which I was super happy about, because I'm still a big fan of her, love her, because she's just like, F this, F that. Like, I'm not here for this. Like, I don't like this at all. So, whatever, I'm gonna be angry. But what I thought was funny, too, and I forgot this, like, the extent of this, but just how obvious it is from right when the games start that, like, all the victors know something that Katniss and Peeta do not know. And it is just, like, you know, you have the Morphling, I think, who is jumping in front of the monkeys, was it? Or, like, something was attacking them, and the Morphling jumps to take... the hit. And that was right. The first time where you're like, okay, what's happening? Because people are like willingly sacrificing themselves. No, Mags was first, and then it was the Morphling, Mags. I think. And she's just like, what is going on? Like, why are you guys, what's happening?
She sees none of the signs. And that's from like the very beginning when Plutarch is like, look at my Mockingjay clock. Yeah. She gets none of the signs, none of the hints. They all go right over her head because she's so concerned with saving Peeta and Peeta's survival that she's not paying attention to anything that's going on.
No, which I think is so funny because they make a big deal about how Katniss is very kind of strategic in how she thinks in terms of surviving and just, oh, okay, I know how to work with Haymitch. I know we have this unspoken language of like, you know, I'll get food when he thinks I'm doing it right or whatever, like those things. And so she's on that track. She's not on the overall, like her view is very limited in that realm. Mm-hmm. So she thinks she's doing all the things, and it's like, no, you're really missing the entire picture this entire time.
Right. Do you think that had Haymitch or Finnick or someone told her what was going on, do you think she would have been able to act through it, or do you think she would have destroyed the plan?
I think she would have destroyed it. And it wouldn't have been like a on purpose thing. I think it would have just been her, like, knowing how her inner dialogue is and the inner turmoil. I think she would have been very conflicted of even how to interact with Peeta, to the point where it would just kind of like everything else going on. It's like, okay, something is up. She knows something now too. Like, I don't think she would have been able to play it cool.
I don't either. Especially because you find out later that she's a terrible actress.
Yeah, so bad. So bad.
They could have told Peeta, though.
Yes, 100%. They could have told Peeta.
Because Peeta's great on camera. They could have told him, but they didn't. And then they left him behind.
I forgot about that part, and I was so mad when I got to the end, and I was like...
I know. You sent me a message, and you were like, the Capitol has PETA. And I was like, yes, yes, very sad. Anyways,
let's go talk. Yeah, you did not care. And I was like, no. I was so upset. And then I think it's...
Poor PETA.
You find out, too, that, like, Coin wanted PETA. And I think that just speaks to, like... Because, you know, Katniss still doesn't... Even throughout all of this, like, it takes her so long to realize her impact. Like, you know how PETA always has that line, like, you do not understand the impact you have on people. And she still doesn't. To the point where, like... Coin would have preferred PETA over you,
right?
Because she's not scared of PETA, but she's scared of you.
Remaining in the Hunger Games before we move on to the ending, I think that the kind of ingenious of the clock, like the whole scheme of breaking the victors out and like delivering bread at specific times so they know... Like, the whole, it was so well thought out, and even, like, the traps in the arena, like, they're still insidious, so they packed a punch in the way that they're supposed to entertain the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the Mockingjays
were
doing the screams of their loved ones and then locking them in that section of the forest is the most insidious thing in the whole world.
Yeah, I think that was probably the worst one, to be honest. Like, that is... Yeah, like, that would break someone easy.
And they picked the two... Not they picked, but it happened to the two people who could be most easily broken by that.
Mm-hmm.
Katniss and Finnick. Because Finnick has his girl at home who is struggling mentally since her games. And Katniss has her little sister, and it's just, like, these screams of them in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, that one, That one was
But
rough.
That also leads Joanna to drop her, "This wouldn't work on me, there's no one left I love" line.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yikes.
Oh, Joanna.
I know. I would love, like, I would love for Suzanne Collins just to continue writing spinoffs. Like, I would love a book from Joanna's point of view. I would love to see, like, the other side of Catching Fire, where you have Plutarch Haymitch and all these people doing the plan and how that kind of information went, because that is such a...
Yeah.
Such a bold move to do, and so risky, because you have people like District 2 people, and I forget if District 2 for sure knew, like, Inabaria and everyone. Like, I forget if they were in it.
I don't think she did. I think she was just kind of there. I don't think she was involved.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you're risking, like, those careers saying something, right? Because technically they're supposed to be more endearing, but maybe not these specific victors because of how long they've been around and what they've seen. So maybe it wasn't, but I would just love to see the plotting side of everything.
Oh, I would kill for, like, a novella. Mm-hmm. That was just... Because that planning started when they got to the capital. They just, like... So Plutarch had been working on it or whatever. But I don't think Haymitch was really involved. I think it was maybe midwinter, because I remember he said something to Katniss, like, yeah, I've been planning this for a while. I would simply love a novella about that planning and, you know, how nerve-wracking it was trying to keep it under wraps but making sure everything went smoothly. I would kill for that.
I would eat that. Yes, I would just... There's certain books I think that I always want a little bit more in that sense, where it's like the main storyline is amazing, right? But you made such a great world and there's such a great plot that I want you to now ebb out and, like, show me everything. Like, I want to know.
Right.
I want to know it all.
I want to know what happened behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Haymitch. He's such a surly character, but he means well.
Mm-hmm.
He's just damaged. And I mean, we're going to get a book from his perspective.
Yes.
That's the next book that's coming out in March. So I'm very excited about that. But I do want more. I'm, like, hoping that it breaks up into timelines and you get a him then and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a him now, just to...
Or even it would be great.
Just to hope.
Great. Like, if we got now, that would be good. But even if the timeline stopped to him being the victim, or, like, the meeting Katniss, right?
Mentor.
And the, yeah, being the mentor to Katniss for the first time. Like, I would love that, and just kind of... Because you get a little more of his backstory in Catching Fire, right? Of, like, you get to see his games, which I totally forgot that they show us, you know, what his games were like and kind of what he was doing. And it would be so cool. I would love for it to, like, start there and then go after, because you find out they kill his family, like, 2 weeks after he wins or something, right? Like, pretty soon after. And it's like, okay, what did you do? Because that just gives you the perception that, again, him and Katniss are so similar.
And what he did, it wasn't even...
It wasn't bad.
That bad.
No.
But he used like a capital weakness to win the games. And they were like, absolutely not. And apparently killed his mom and sister, maybe?
Yeah, it was mom's siblings. And I think the woman he was in love with, I think like everybody that he cared about.
Well, I don't know that he was in love with anyone.
I'm going, like, in the synopsis, and again, I'm not too sure, but in the synopsis, it says that, like, he has, like, a sweetheart or something that he's trying to get back to. I don't know the extent.
This is new information.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows, but it is kind of interesting.
Well, you know, that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Because he was alone with White Lightning in his house.
I think I love that name, because that's the liquor, right?
Yeah.
I love the name of that. Like, I would drink White Lightning. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's as not, long as you don't go it, blind.
But... Yeah,
I have family members in the South. My dad has this jug of disgusting liquor that he's had, I don't know, 60 years. And every boy I bring home, he's like, take a shot of this. And it's like his judge of character. It's the most disgusting thing. And they seriously make it in, like, a bathtub. I don't know. But yeah, if you
make
it... What
is it, like, moonshine?
Yeah. But, like, made by actual people in overalls in their backyards.
That's the real Hunger Games. Take a shot, see if you survive.
Exactly.
This crazy liquor. But I think this is kind of hard to pick, and I think I may know your answer, but outside of, like, obviously we have, you know, the perspective on Snow in the last book. You have Haymitch's point of view coming next. Who, if she were to continue writing, what would you like to see? Like, if you could choose anything in the world, if it's not the novella, say, like, set that aside. Like, is there someone you would like to learn about more? Anything like that.
I feel the only way that I would want something like that is Cinna's life in the capital and kind of what happened to him to make him want the capital overthrown. And, like, how mm-hmm. his personality developed. Because a lot of the other ones... I don't want another bad thing to happen to Katniss. Like, I don't want a future book. They have kids. They're still dealing with their trauma. That's good enough for me. Like, I don't need any more of their story. So anything that you give me has to be, you know, past games or how characters came to play. And I feel like Cinna would be a very interesting one.
That would be a good one. I would love to see more from President Coin, to be honest, because I don't think we'd ever really get a lot from her, like, you know, who she was before the District 13 attack happened. Or, I mean, she probably wasn't alive at that point, but, like, just where did you come from and what made you the choice? Because... so easy, like, Katniss is just, like, immediately, like, I don't trust you. Right. Like, I don't like you. But it's, you know, it's either I choose you or I choose Snow or I run away. And, like, I can't leave my family, so.
I don't know how you would make that book interesting, though, because 13, for a lot of Coin's life, is just, like, underground, preparing for the eventuality of another war. Like, there's the plague that happens, but other than that, mm-hmm. I don't know how you make that interesting. Although, I could be wrong, because I did read a bunker apocalyptic thriller once and it was good. So
yeah, I don't know if it would be like as exciting, I guess, like, because with Catching Fire, like, I didn't want to stop listening. I think I listened to it in maybe like 3 or 4 days. Like, I listened to half of it within 24 hours. I was obsessed. Not so much with Mockingjay. And I feel like potentially with President Coin, it could be the same. So even if we just got like a little blurb, like, I just want to know a little bit more. Just a little bit, I guess. I mean, I guess it doesn't totally matter with the whole kind of moral of the story of where that's going and everything. Because, like, you have one bad leader to, like, you know, probably a leader who's going to be kind of the same because she wants to, you know, do another Hunger Games with capital children. If we're not going to just extinct, you know, mass murder all capital people because... other people are mad.
And it's not just all capital people, it was anyone that was against her, because she also set Katniss up to die. She had fulfilled her purpose, yes. And the next thing she could do is die as a martyr to further the cause. Other than that, if she didn't side with Coin, she wasn't needed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just like, again, you have no good options in this case, because power corrupts people, which you is consistently see.
She's just an early Snow.
Yes, she could turn exactly into Snow, and, you know, you have that dialogue to jump way ahead again of, you know, Snow and Katniss talking, and she's like, oh my god, there is only one person who could have done this, and it's her.
Right.
And she's no better. I knew she wasn't better, now here's my proof that she is not better.
Nope. It's funny because in the third book, there is a lot of action, but there's also not. Like, there's a lot of Katniss taking naps behind leaky pipes and, like...
Okay, seriously, like, when I... Obviously, we all know that I went into this not remembering, like, legitimately anything except, like, I love Finnick. Poor Finnick is gonna die. I love Cinna. Cinna's gonna die. Like, I remembered... various things, like the not good things. And I had this vision in my head of how certain things played out with Mockingjay, and I was so wrong. I thought instead of, like, you know, when they're on, you know, when she gets her clearance and she's able to go into the capital for that final mission in the last quarter of the book, and her and Finnick immediately are like, we're going back into the arena, because they're talking about how the arena is set up with all the different devices and the pods and everything. I could have sworn that that interaction, that discovery happened when they were on the ground in the capital. And then Katniss and Finnick are like, no, we need to do this. We need to do this. Like, that kind of, that's how I thought it played out. And it did not. They went in knowing it. So right. I was like, oh God, okay. I didn't remember anything.
Yeah. And obviously the last, you know, quarter, half of the book is the interesting part, because almost all of the beginning is some sort of, like, training montage, you know? Like, she's learning mm-hmm. how to be in the military. You get the brief interaction when they go to 8, I think, or 4. Yes. I don't mm-hmm. remember what district it is. But they go to a district to, like, visit the wounded, and the capital attacks again.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that one small battle scene. And I think this is when I thought that Gale was being overprotective. Like, last time when we talked, I was like, oh, he gets overprotective of her. He absolutely does not. He's like, get up there, girl.
No.
Shoot that arrow.
Yeah, he's like, let's go. He's like, no, don't use those arrows. Use these arrows
now. Use the bomb one. The bomb one's really cool. Shoot that one.
Yeah, he's like so, you know, he's like punching Boggs in the face to let her get, like, help her get up there or whatever happened in that case. And he wasn't a bad choice for her. Like, you know, to kind of jump ahead a little bit, and I know we're gonna go back, but I understand why she can't be with him, but I don't know that it's fair to place the full blame on him for what happened. Because yes, it was his, I get that it was his plan and that sucks, but I don't think he knew what Coyne was gonna do with that.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did, based on his comments before of like, we're gonna sacrifice, it doesn't matter, but like, you're sacrificing your own people too, so how does that make sense?
And it was little things. Those things happened several times in the third book where Katniss was like, I guess I don't really know him. Because there's the scene, and this again is towards the end of the book, there's the scene where they're in District 2 and they're trying to crack the nut, which is that mountain that all the military people are
yeah.
in. And he's just like, kill them all. Mm-hmm. Trap them inside and mm-hmm. let them die. And Katniss is like, big dog, we can't just kill everyone.
She's like, what?
We're not the mm-hmm. capital. And he and her go back and forth on that several times. And then before that, she sees Beatty and Gale are together a lot creating weapons and weapon plans. Mm-hmm. And again, it's this, like, how do you trap a hummingbird situation?
Yeah.
That starts where he's like, oh, you just get a really fine mesh net and then, you know, squeeze it to death or whatever. And she's just like, my guy, that's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually the drop a bomb, let the medics come in, drop another bomb idea he says out loud, and that happens.
Yeah, I totally forgot that Prim dies. I did not remember that at all, and I was like, this has to be a joke right now, like there's no shot, because like you just see her running in, and it's like, yeah, I don't fully blame him for that. Like, I understand where she's coming from, but I think too, just that whole, the third book just really shows how different they both are in the ways that matter. Like, yes, you have this amazing bond you forged growing up for the survival aspect, but that all Gale has is the anger at how the family is, like, everyone is being treated and how he sees the capital and all of that, whereas Katniss is now seeing how her actions impact people and, like, how the rebellion is also hurting people because, you know, the capital is still murdering people and she's seen so much loss that Gale didn't at that time yet.
Right.
You know, she saw everything.
Well, it's also, they're just, the way they view the world are two very different ways. Katniss wants yeah. to save everyone, and she thinks everyone can be saved for the most part, mm-hmm. you know, with enough trying. Except for Peeta, which I'll circle back to. And then Ooh. Gale is like, oh, we're willing to make sacrifices. Like, people have to die for this cause to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Gale is saying that having not seen, you know, his best friend, you know, this, you know, Cinna being beaten to death or beaten severely and then murdered. Right. He is saying that with, and the person he lost really was his dad in the mining accident. Like, if he has other loss in his life, like no. Katniss, we don't
all
see
all of his
it.
Siblings live, and I guess you don't know a lot about Gale and if he has other friends or whatever, but he doesn't seem to suffer any losses, and Katniss is constantly suffering.
Yeah, she's like a shell of a person. She's like, I literally cannot lose anybody else right now, and you have Gale over here that's just like, who cares? Like, if it gets us to where we need to go, then that's where we need to go. And, you know, the only person who isn't really like that is Peeta, I feel like.
Mm.
No. Okay, you have a hot take on Peeta. Tell me. Talk to me.
Let's talk about Peeta. Let's talk about mutation Peeta. And when he comes back. So he doesn't get taken by the rebels. He gets taken by the Capitol. And during his yes. time with the Capitol, he is very clearly tortured over months. And when he comes back to Katniss, he has been conditioned to want to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it conditioned to want to kill her, he hates everything about her. And he says some of the meanest things to her. And I am just like, oh my God. And then the way she reacts is so real. Because she's just like, okay, well, go die then. If you think I'm so ugly, maybe you should sew your mouth shut. Like, it's just...
But she has such a real reaction.
And she's 16. And if somebody that you had fallen in love with and had for months been like, we have to get PETA. We have to go save PETA. How is PETA? And then he shows up and he was like, oh, you're not particularly pretty, are you? Like, he's giving what's-his-face from the R.L. Stein book. You're also not very smart.
Oh my, but you know, you're the light of my life. Like, okay, sure, I guess.
And then Katniss is like, I mean, let him die, I guess. Like,
she's like, cool, I'm glad I, like, you know, really tried to do this, but I guess we're just gonna have to kill you now, because,
And it takes her so...
I don't know what to do.
It takes her so long to find some compassion for this boy who gave everything for her. And, again, she's 16. Her reaction is completely valid. I'm 35, and I'd be like, oh, I'm ugly? Like...
Yeah, your reaction would also be, well, then go die.
Correct. Well, then I hope you never get better. Enjoy this hospital bed. Shoop. I almost said something bad.
I know. I've almost said so many bad words during this recording. Good for us for catching them.
I'm so proud. But then Haymitch is finally like, girl, if your roles were reversed, do you think that he would be like, somebody hit him on the head with a frying pan? He's being mean to me? No. He would be doing everything he can to help you get better. And then she's like, fine.
I guess I'll do it. No, but that's what I was going to bring up. Or it's not until that where she was like, man. Because, you know, Haymitch always drops some, like, hard truth on her that she has to just, like, swallow. And that was, I think, the turning point for her there of just, yeah, it sucks. It's terrible. The Capitol took one more thing away from you. But guess what? Like, it's not PETA's fault. You know, he's trying to get over it. And eventually he does. I think, like, obviously we're working with very limited amount of time just with the page count. But I think I would have loved if this was, I hate to say it because you're right. Like, the first half was not action-y, really. It's just Katniss trying to just get over or become as mentally well as possible to do something about her situation. But it would have been nice if this was longer to see PETA, like, really get over it, because I think while it's done well, it is kind of compacted, I feel like.
You don't, and the thing is, you never really, you assume that he's mostly gotten over it, although you do know that they still do the real or not real game, you know, after they're married and have kids together. So he's, you know, never really okay, but it would be interesting to get just a little bit more in depth on that process. But I think that's kind of the point, is that he never gets well. He just works on it constantly.
Well, I think that's just such a real depiction, and I always respect authors that don't, like, you get a happy ending, but it's not fully happy, because it's not like, oh, and the characters overcame their trauma, and now everything is sunshine and rainbows, like... Well, it's not. Like, they went through very traumatic 2 years of their life, or year and a half, however long. Because, you know, there's the fall with the Capitol and all that.
Right.
They're not going to just, like, be okay after everything they experience. Like, it's not going to go away. And I do appreciate that she didn't end it like that. We work on it every day. Like, yes, we have kids and they're learning about it. And I'm so scared when they figure out more about, like, our role in this. But
right.
It's just life at that point.
I actually think the ending is, like, particularly heartbreaking, because, like, they're never well. They're never, you know, they've now got two, I think they're both under 10, but, like, they have two kids, and it's still such a huge factor in their lives.
Yeah, because they're in their 30s, and they played such a pivotal role, too, in just everything that happened, so it's... Yeah,
and now Katniss is not only, like, a war hero in the face of the rebellion, but she's also a war criminal.
Yes, oh my gosh. Okay, that is still my favorite part of... That was another thing I remembered was, you know, her taking out coin after the whole dialogue of them being in the mansion, and Snow is like, why would... You know I'm not above killing children, but why would I kill capital children? To be honest, like, why would I have done that? It makes no sense, and... I think it's so interesting that, like, you go this whole time in the book and she's like, I do not trust Coin. And then you have Boggs, when he is dying, say, don't trust them. And he knows, like, right away, like, that's what she needs to hear. And then you go to that, and he's like, come on, Katniss. Like, I thought we weren't going to lie to each other. Like, it's so, I love that part of, like, a villain and, like, the hero. You know, she is technically the hero of the story. They still have some, like, she trusts him more, in a way, than she trusts Coin, who is supposed to be on her side, right? You know, and he's giving her the truth that no one else is. And he's like, come on, who do you think did that? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't me. Do you think this is going to get better with her at the helm of things? Like, do you really think this will solve your problems?
Right.
And he gets her right where it hurts, and she's like, all right. And then she kills Coin.
Yeah. The inner monologue of that particular scene, like, oh, I'm not being guarded, because she had been being guarded. She's like, I'm not being guarded, yes. And I don't have to practice with the arrow, because look how close I am. And, like, they have him tied up, but why? And then she's like, I love that she voted, because, so before the scene where they kill President Snow, Coin brings all the victors in and says, we're going to take a vote, because I would like to host one more Hunger Games with all the Capitol's children. President Snow has a granddaughter.
Oh, yeah. And that was tough.
She has all of the victors, or all of the leftover victors, vote on this. Mm-hmm. And Katniss votes yes. And then Haymitch votes yes with her. Did Haymitch know what she had planned?
I would be surprised if he didn't. Or have, like, some idea, like, some inkling that... Because I think even... I think she tried to play it off, or it was written in a way that, well, of course she was going to say yes because of what happened with Prim. Why not? But I think even knowing what's about to happen, it is surprising, because it's like, why would you put more people in that position? So I think he did know. I think he was probably like, something's... She's planning something. Like, he... Right.
This is just something to earn her confidence. It's not...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part was... I also, again, forgot about that part. And then, best ending with her just taking out Coin. That was great.
It had to be done. You mentioned Boggs. And before we move on from that, I just want to say, Suzanne Collins picks the characters that I have decided to like the most. And then she kills them in horrible ways.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. Because,
so... Boggs dies a horrific death as he's been trying to protect Katniss. We spoke about Darius earlier. Darius is tortured to death in front of PETA as a form of PETA's torture. And for weeks, it's not slow. I'm sorry, it's not fast. He's, like, tortured slowly to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like Suzanne Collins. I think she's mean.
She is really mean. She makes you care about them. And because, like, her interactions with Boggs are so wholesome. Like, he's kind of her surrogate dad in a way that Haymitch isn't, kind of. Like, you know, Haymitch was never positioned that way. But I think for a while, he's kind of like the only male authority figure she can kind of trust. And then you have Boggs, who is like, I loved the line where she is like, hears about them going to the Capitol. And she's like, I am going to the Capitol. I am the best shot you have. Like, you would be dumb not to take me. And I forget what Boggs says, or if he just looks at her a type of way, and she was just like, I can see what he sees. You have this 17-year-old young girl who has been through so much and is unstable right now because of it, and she wants to go to the Capitol? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And their interactions, though, are just so... Like, he's on her side, and it takes her a while to realize it, but then once she does, it's just like, oh, okay.
Well, like, she doesn't realize it until right at the end, right? So they're all shooting these propaganda things in the city, and she realizes that Boggs really is there for her when Coin sends PETA, who's still conditioned to want to kill Katniss, to the city with them. And he shows up, and she's like, well, Coin wants me dead. Obviously.
Yeah. Well, because it's around there, or maybe before they go. I think it is when PETA comes back, because she's just like, why does she want me dead? And he was like, who would your vote be? After Snow is dead, who is going to rule Pan Am? And if your initial gut instinct to say is not Coin, then you are a threat to her. Sorry. And he's the only one that kind of breaks that fact to her and even knows what she's thinking. Because when he's dying, obviously, he's like, don't trust them. Because he knows what they're planning to do to her.
Take the hollow. Do what you came here to do. Don't trust them.
Yes. Because just like, she's so obvious. I know. I was so sad. I was at a farmer's market when I was listening to that part. Like, I was just walking around and went back to my car and was driving. And I had to rewind because I'm like, you, Boggs did not just get his legs blown off. Like, you're kidding me right now.
Yeah,
and he sure did. And I was very sad.
And it all happens so fast because immediately after that, PETA loses it and throws another member of their group into like a barbed wire trap of some kind.
Yeah. It just like starts coming super quick where they have just like a big group and it's like right here, the five people that are left. And also too, like I thought, not that it wasn't sad, but I thought Vinnick's death was more impactful. Not just, oh, I saw him getting pulled from a sewer grate, like, at the bottom, like, and that's it.
You barely get any of it. It's just, like,
yes.
Katniss is up waiting, and one person comes up, and she goes, where's Finnick? And they just shake their head, and that's it.
Yeah, like, okay, like, I thought, I remember being very sad about that, and,
Well, the movie death is brutal.
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, then. Maybe that's where some of my confusion with Mockingjay came, to be honest, like the things that I remember.
The movies are very different.
Huh, okay. They're be fun to rewatch. I'm definitely excited to do it because I think the visuals are just so fun, and that's what I love about fantasy books is just all the outfits and the colors and the different things. It's going to make it fun to rewatch that too, to see that all brought to life again because it feels like, again, all from the first time.
I've talked a lot about what the movies got wrong and what I think they missed from a terms of character interaction standpoint. You know what I think the movies got right, which you might not remember? In the book, there is no Haymitch, Effie, smoochy, smoochy secret relationship going on. In fact, Effie is never there. They like find her at the end of the book and she's been held hostage by the Capitol or whatever, but she's still alive. Right. In the movie, Effie goes to District 13 with them, and her and Haymitch, once he's sober, seem to be canoodling. And I love that for them. And I'm actually sad that that's not a detail that was in the book. I was, like, surprised. Because, again, the movies have rotted my brain. And I was just like, this is what happened. So when I was reading book two, and Effie wasn't involved at all, I was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I didn't remember that. I also, well, speaking of Effie too, and again, maybe this comes from the movie, but I thought that there was a point where, because obviously when Effie comes back in, at the end of Mockingjay, she is in her typical Effie getup, but I could have sworn there was a part where Katniss sees her not all done up. She doesn't have the crazy wig on. She doesn't really have any makeup on. She is just, you know, her natural self.
That's the movie.
Okay, that's what I was like, where did that come from? It's the movie. Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I remember that.
Yeah.
Because it was very impactful.
Yeah. Nope. So I'm sad for that, because that means to me that Haymitch really does die alone.
Which you don't want. Like, I think him... No. I think, again, too, like, who else is going to understand? Like, him and Effie went through a lot of the same stuff, too, those couple years. So it makes sense that they could have a little something-something going on with being, you know, forced proximity and
right.
all that.
Once he gets sober, because they've known each other for years, right? Because Effie has been the whatever for District 12, so they've known each other. But once, like, they go to, in my brain, they go to District 13 and the walls are broken down and he's sober and she looks like a normal human being, that's when they're like, oh, feelings. But that's not what happened. And I was like, oh, damn. Because when they find the prep team in the cells or whatever, I was expecting Effie to be there. And when she wasn't, I was like, oh, no, not my favorite love story of all time. The one that never happened.
I do. Okay. I could get behind. Usually I'm like against when stuff like that happens, I think, in adaptations, right? But I would, that specifically, 100% I could get behind. I am team Haymitch and Effie. Are you still, having reread this, are you still team Katniss Dies Alone?
Yes.
Interesting. Explain your stance. Now that we've reread it, because now we can have a full discussion.
I don't want to explain my stance.
Okay.
So she being Katniss will never be able to forgive Gale, whether it was directly his fault that Prim died or not. It was his idea of, you know, the second wave bombing. It was Coyne's idea to use it on children and their own citizens, but it was Gale's original idea that helped her do it. And Katniss is never going to be able to forgive him.
Correct.
Obviously, we're not going to go back to Gale because she's going to resent him for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. PETA... they're just trauma bonded, is the thing. He has to be talked into loving her again.
Mm-hmm.
And she settles for him because she's a war criminal and the only one of her age that's living in District 12 again. It just feels forced. Like, she was forced to make this choice that she didn't really have a choice. It was just, be with PETA because he makes me cookies and makes me feel a little bit better and I don't want to be alone.
Yeah, I kind of like a settling or because it was convenient, potentially.
Right. And she never experienced anything else because she was still 17 or whatever when he came back, and she was just trying to like heal mentally from the death of her sister, and her mother abandons her, which is super cool. And then PETA comes back and she's like, well, I guess I'll cling to you in my mental state. I guess I'll teach you how to love me again because the Capitol broke you, and then, you know, we'll just hang out for the rest of our lives because my entire family is either dead or has abandoned me. I can't trust my friends anymore, but you're still here.
Yeah, that's fair. That's tough, but I get where you're coming from.
It's just a bummer.
Part of me would hope that, and it would not be an interesting story. This would just be purely character development for anybody interested, but just reading the timeline a little bit of their interactions up until the epilogue, like, would kind of be interesting just to see, like, actually get a picture of where they're at and, like, how it happened and the time that passed and everything. To, like, I guess, feel more comfortable, because it is kind of like I said when we were reading The Hunger Games, the equivalent of a woman losing or a young woman losing her magic, just, you know, because that's the answer. It's like she loses her power and everyone is happy and things are right with the world. Like, she didn't lose her power in a way, but like she lost
everyone she loves.
Lost everyone she loves and is now in a life that for so long she said she didn't want. And yes, of course, she's young and there's a lot of trauma there. And, you know, maybe over the 15 or, because it's like 15 to 17 years later of this epilogue. So she's in her 30s, right? Obviously, like, she's a different person, but it would just be kind of nice to see a little bit more of who that person is internally to be okay with, oh, now I'm married with kids, a future I did not want for the longest time.
You only get, like, the brief glimpse of PETA coming back and being like, oh, I thought we should plant these bushes because they're primroses after your sister. Like, showing that he is still thinking of Katniss in a way that's like, oh, I should take care of her. So at least there's that. Like, you can see that he has improved to the point where he's like, I want Katniss to feel better, so I'm going to plant these bushes.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you get that. But it's just, like, I don't know, it feels like settling. And it's... it's not what I want for her.
No.
But I think that's the point. I think the point is Katniss gave everything and she still ended up losing everything.
And now she's just, you know, this is the life she kind of has. Like, it's that or be alone or also, like, maybe try again. And I think she's too tired to try again with anybody else and, like, build up those relationships. That's the other thing that's really sad. Like, you're just done with having new relationships, kind of. Well, potentially.
Right.
On that front. And you don't really find out, too. Like, yeah, you know Haymitch returns to District 12 with her, I think. And then that's it.
He marries one-armed Sal, or whoever makes all the liquor, all the bootleg liquor. In my mind, this is what happens.
Oh, I was like, no, he did not.
No, he marries... I don't remember her name. Squeaker. Or that's not it.
Yeah, you know Squeaker who sells White Lightning over there? Yeah, that's a hard pass for me.
But
no,
it's Ripper. Her name's Ripper.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
In my mind, that's what happens. Just so he has an ending. Because otherwise, he has no ending.
Which he deserves more. Reading this has just made me more excited to read the rest of the characters, because with everything else I forgot how well done this is. And I think it's so different reading it as an adult, especially with, you know, different perspectives and the time of the year we're reading this and things that are going on in current events right now.
We know how Katniss felt when she was forced to go through the Hunger Games a second time.
Hunger Games again, yes. We're in the quarter quell too. So I think, like, for me, like, Mockingjay, there were certain lines where it was just, it hit a little different because of just what's going on and, like, what people are sharing on social media. So it was an interesting time for us to choose to reread this, to be honest. Yeah. And, like, some parts was a little tough where it's like, oh, God, like, the propaganda and the two, like, it's just too close for comfort sometimes, I think, which is obviously the point of a lot of fantasy books, to get you that different perspective of, like, let's make it really clear for you, but like remove it kind of 10 steps. But like, this is, you know, these are the issues, you guys. Like, how about we fix them? Oh, so good. Any last thoughts for the Hunger Games?
My last thing is I do want to reiterate that the audiobooks are amazing. And yes. The narrator is so good. So there's... It's going to make me laugh every time for the rest of my existence. There's a scene where she, in Catching Fire, where they're talking about how Katniss and Peeta share the bed on the train car. And mm-hmm. Katniss is like, how come I never know that you're having a nightmare? And he's like, well, all of my nightmares are about losing you. And then when I wake up and I see you're there, then I'm not scared anymore. And she just goes, ugh.
The narrator truly, and also too, like, she does Finnick O'Dare's voice, like, so well, too. Like, all the, what I, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, she is Katniss. She does Finnick O'Dare really well. She does Haymitch so well, and Effie. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that she makes Peeta sound a little derpy, a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. he has that golden retriever, just, like, deep, kind of slow draw.
He's a golden retriever.
No, I know. It just, anytime he would talk, he's it would blonde. Just make me laugh.
He'll do anything for you.
Mm-hmm. Even though he wants to kill you, he'll still plant primrose bushes in your front yard because you miss your dead sister. Right.
He just had to work through that one little detail.
Of, you know, just wanting to compulsively murder you. Oops. And hating. Oh no. Oh my goodness. Well, we're definitely going to be back too, because I know I want to read Songbirds and Snakes. You've kind of mentioned that you're not going to do that. You've been teetering. So I'm going to reread it. Maybe I'm going to read it. Well,
I'll watch the movie.
Okay.
And we can decide how the movie and the book are different by how we interact with the story.
Okay, yeah, let's do it, because
that's the best I can do. I can't read that book again.
No, you're good. Well, maybe we'll be back. I don't think this is the last time we're going to talk about the Hunger Games, to be honest. I'm sure we're going to be back for a discussion of the next one, and then of course for sure when Haymitch's story comes out, because I am so excited for that one. That is going to be so good.
I love Haymitch.
Team Haymitch. Team Haymitch and Effie.
Team Haymitch doesn't die alone. I'm very sad. I hope we get a flash forward to him, you know, not being an alcoholic for the rest of his life. Sad.
Well, it would be kind of cute if, like, the flash forward also includes Katniss and Peeta, just in the sense of he could kind of be their kid's grandpa in a way, you know?
Right.
Like, that's what I would want for him. They live still across the street from each other. They have family dinners, and he is involved in their kids' lives in some way.
Yes. Okay. You know? I would accept that. He can still be single, but I want him to be like, you know, get off my lawn, but in a fun way, you know?
Yes.
In a mocking way.
He's too good to not do that. Well, so this crossed. Is our last reread of the year. We have two more episodes coming out, but they are going to be of course, different variety, because who knows what this podcast is anymore. But tune in.
Not me.
We have some fun stuff. Yeah, we don't know. You can follow us. Our handles are in the show notes below, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Happy Hunger Games!